second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola, and my guest this hour is Reverend Ted Pike. His website is truthtellers.org. Welcome to the program, Reverend Pike.
Well, thanks for having me, Deanna.
Well, I was very touched and very moved, as I'm sure that many people are who have the privilege of receiving regular emails from you, when on January 3rd, you sent out an email that just, you said, "My wife died a martyr for God and freedom." And I read through it, and you're courageous, in such a situation that would be very, very, very difficult. And I certainly admire your courage and your faith. It shows a lot of faith, the way that you're handling this and what you've posted since that day.
Well, we've received a tremendous worldwide commiseration, support, and approval for sending that out. In 2005, my wife did come under major demonic attack, as we relate in this article, and led eventually to her death. And this is all very, very astonishing. People who are experts in the paranormal have been telling me they've never seen a case like this, for its extensiveness, the viciousness, the bizarre detail that I present in this article. It's really quite unprecedented. I actually haven't seen the Amityville horror movie, but people are comparing what we went through to that.
Well, that's interesting. I did see that movie. It was very scary, actually. And I think I also read the book. And I agree with you. That would be a good comparison.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Basically, what my position was in this onslaught was that we were receiving tremendous opposition from demonic forces as a result of our long-term opposition to Zionism and Jewish supremacism, going clear back to 1984 with the publication of my book, Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma, and our various major videos we've launched have set precedent. They have done pioneering work, really, in opening up people's minds worldwide to the threat of Israel's arrogance, belligerence in the Middle East, the Jewish control of the media, the ADL and its hate crimes laws, and so on. And we were very aware that because we were hitting the synagogue of Satan so hard, the synagogue of Satan from somewhere within its bowels was sending curses upon us with tremendous demonic attack. And this began in the fall of 2005. My wife and I were out in nature, and suddenly in the evening the skies became very tumultuous with all kinds of flashing and streaking lights, and my wife could see a dark silhouette of a huge figure in the sky off to the north. And with that, which was kind of like a modern-day version of Van Gogh's Starry Night, I couldn't see a thing. But immediately, she could see lights all over on the highway as we were going home, lights in our car, things turning a bright purple and green and fluorescent colors around her. And that began a whole chronology of demonic invasion.
All righty. Reverend, we do have to take a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Modern medicine has given doctors miraculous powers. Using 21st century imaging technology, surgeons can peer inside the human body in extraordinary detail. Unfortunately for patients, there's virtually no transparency in the billing process. Too often, patients agree to surgical procedures without understanding the full cost of treatment. But all that is about to change. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma is revolutionizing medicine with affordable surgical procedures and completely transparent pricing. Their board-certified surgeons perform over 7,000 surgeries per year at a fraction of the cost charged by traditional providers. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma is perfect for individuals without insurance and people with high deductible plans. If you have a health savings account or self-funded plan, you should definitely consider our services. We even welcome patients from Canada and around the world. Check out our website for all-inclusive pricing at surgerycenterok.com. That's surgerycenterok.com. Or give us a call at 405-475-0678.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
The Empower Network has already generated over $1.5 million of 100% commissions in its first 5 weeks of operation. And the money just keeps on growing. Do you want your unfair share? Go to 9OccupyWealth.com. That's 9OccupyWealth.com. Do not let the economy or the job market determine your success. Now you can surf the waves of wealth with a few clicks to the Empower Network. Go to 9OccupyWealth.com. Join today and learn how to get your first 100% commission deposited directly into your bank account. Are you ready for your personal game changer? Are you ready to earn 100% commissions? You need to immediately take advantage of the biggest opportunity you may ever have. Just go to 9OccupyWealth.com. All the information is on the website, 9OccupyWealth.com. That's 9OccupyWealth.com.
This hour is Reverend Ted Pike. His website is truthtellers.org. Now, you were talking about the event that you had in 2005, but in your email of that day, January 3rd, you talk about way back to 1971, when you basically were ready to write your book, Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma. And 1971, I mean, that was pretty early when you're looking at the scope of things, the things that have happened since then. And you apparently were well aware of the revolutionary movement, of the Jewish revolutionary movement, long before others were aware of this.
Father had a radio program here in the Portland, Oregon area in actually 1959, attempting even that early to bring about a conservative awakening to counter the omnipresent liberalism that dominated this country. And one day, the Anti-Defamation League came to the station manager and told him that unless the Reverend Pike stopped preaching against communism, ADL was going to take action to boycott the radio station, shut down the radio station. And this was very amazing to my parents, who had never been suspicious of Zionism or matters Jewish. And they began to wonder, well, why is it that ADL, which is, you know, God's chosen people, why are the Jews so sensitive about communism being discussed? And like all broadcasters, we got literature in the mail, and one of them included the report, the 1918 report in the Illustrated Sunday Herald by Sir Winston Churchill. And Churchill was laying out the Jewish roots of Bolshevism very clearly in his famous report. We read that. I read it. My parents read it. We began to receive other materials, you know, testimony by Henry Ford, Charles Lindbergh, and other that there was a world Jewish supremacist conspiracy out to dominate civilization. Well, I was very much of an anti-communist in high school in the early 60s, but I began to be interested in this subject, and especially after I got into college, I did locate an entire Babylonian Talmud. I started reading it, delving into it, and I also had copies of some of the books by Elizabeth Dilling.
And oh, yeah, she's good.
A really good background on this. And by the time, and then I spent a lot of time, very deep study of the Bible, Bible prophecy, coming to my own scenario of the end times and coming to my own conclusions. And so by the time I was out of college in 1971, I was determined that something had to be done to awaken the evangelicals to this unholy alliance, this ungodly alliance they had with Israel, with Zionism, with Jewish supremacism. I had to wake up the church. And as I say in my article, I had put together the notes for a book entitled Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma. At age 25, I went up into the mountains with my deer rifle, and I was going to stay up there for about a week and really get this manuscript in order. But on that very night, my whole sleep was attacked incessantly all night long. I woke up at least a dozen times with intense racing dreams and nightmares. I had never experienced anything like it in my life as far as mental assault. And I couldn't work. I was so beat up after that. And the thing was, it continued night after night after night, week after week. And needless to say, I wasn't able to write the book. I came home and was exhausted. The total disintegration of my sleep was going on, incessantly wearing me down. And then suddenly, after taking a nap one day, I went out in the field, and I couldn't even walk 500 feet. I was so weak without lying down. And for the next 12 years or so, I remained in an extremely weak condition. People wouldn't believe this, but I had to subsist on maybe 5 or 6 hours of work in a week, of light work in a week, probably 5% of the strength I had before.
And, now, did you ever think that this might have been a physical problem? Did you consult any doctors or naturopathic people?
Yeah, that's back in the time when the chronic fatigue syndrome stuff was coming on the scene and becoming popularized in medical literature and so on. Yeah, I went to doctors. I went to a psychiatrist. I went to naturopaths. I went to a number of places. People trying to get some way to get my energy back, but really underneath all that, I knew that it was a demonic attack. It was a fast. It was an intercession for the country. And then, but in 1983, God did give me enough strength to put my notes back in shape and write my book. And it became really a bestseller in its genre. The old Spotlight newspaper promoted it. Michael Collins Piper and others helped me with that. And 1987, I did my other Israel video, which was also a sensation. Sold more than 10 or 12,000 copies, I guess, in the first several months through the Spotlight. And both of these works were pioneering works in crossing the bridge between the rather harsh and abrasive qualities of Elizabeth Dilling over to the evangelicals, trying to make a case to the evangelicals that it was unbiblical to give this kind of unconditional support to Israel. There was a great threat here, even warned against in the New Testament about the synagogue of Satan and so on. And the book Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma was an attempt to be a moderate, reasonable, and very well-documented attempt to wake up the evangelical church.
Amazing. And, of course, some of the politicians that were going along the same route that you were, they simply got rid of them and replaced them in office. But they couldn't silence you. Did the ADL come after you later, after your book, or at any other time?
Actually, when the video came out, the video just flashed across the country, and the ADL was terrified of that video. They held a special conference up in Seattle, north of me here in Portland, and they invited evangelicals, invited church leaders, saying we've got to do something to silence Pike. They got these guys on the radio to defame me and so on. But a year or so later, I was the center of an ADL tension. Along with Tom Metzger, I was considered one of the two greatest threats to the ADL agenda at that time. And in fact, ADL in Seattle told one Messianic Jew that was on the radio blasting me, they told him that they were going to destroy Ted Pike and the National Prayer Network within the next year. And yet here I am. How many years is that?
Right. But you have experienced these things throughout. And then you married in 1984. And I must say, she was just beautiful, a beautiful person.
Yes, in every way. Alin was the great love of my life. And what was so amazing about her, in addition to all her musical and literary gifts and all those things, was she her mother actually had done was a Christian conservative activist and had read Dilling and done some research into the Talmud herself. So when Alin saw me at an anti-homosexual rally my parents were sponsoring, and I got up to speak, and the homosexuals rioted and tried to pull out the microphone. That was the first time Alin saw me. She was stunned with me, with the courage as I was going out and going head to head with a couple hundred homosexuals, which were screaming. And she said she thought that's the kind of man I want. She was a fighter. We got together. In fact, a couple weeks later, at a luncheon at my parents' place, and fell in love very quickly. And actually, it was 4 years later that we were finally married, but it was a marriage made in heaven, and she was determined. She wasn't at all afraid of being called anti-Semitic or anything like that. She was very, a very powerful co-host in all of my major videos. People loved her, just a natural on camera. And so she was also a target for the demonic attacks that erupted in 2005.
Reverend Pike, do you believe that the God of this world is Lucifer?
He's the prince of the power of this air, of the air. He is the God of our age, and we are in the foothills of Antichrist, I believe. We are in a time of great falling away of real spirituality in Christianity. And what I'm doing, I think, what Lynn was doing, I think, in her life and in her these attacks, and finally in her death, was sending a very strong message to the church that demonic forces, actual demonic forces, are being unleashed now upon the world in anticipation. As Babylon the Great, Israel rises in preeminence and power in the world, and the church, Christians, must gird themselves, as Scripture says, to do spiritual warfare and even suffer in the flesh.
Right. And yes, it is very interesting. I mean, you certainly create a connection between the Zionist and what is happening to you and what happened to your wife. I mean, this is pretty powerful stuff that you're talking about here.
Well, I mentioned in the article that one of the first manifestations of the demons was a lot of speaking in tongues, gibberish, and so on. They took control of her voice box. They would speak to us through her voice.
Wow. All righty,
I'll talk about that a little more.
All righty, we have a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkey's are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
This hour is Reverend Ted Pike, and you were talking about that your wife began speaking in tongues on a daily basis.
I could never make any sense out of what she was saying, what the demons were saying through her, except for two phrases which were repeated every day a number of times. The first one was Baal Shem Tov. He would say Baal Shem Tov, immediately, I knew what Baal Shem Tov was. Baal Shem Tov was the Kabbalistic rabbi in the mid-18th century in Poland who was one of the very greatest subversive pioneers of the world Jewish revolutionary movement. He was a Jewish magician and occultist and expert on Kabbalah who had a tremendous following. He influenced Masonry and the other Kabbalistic subversives Weishaupt and a number of them. Others were going back to inspiration and directives and so on coming out of Poland. And the other words she would say would be Shabbatai. And immediately I knew Shabbatai was stood for Shabbatai Zevi, who was the Turkish Jewish Kabbalist who in 1646 proclaimed himself Messiah of the Jews. And he also was a tremendous icon of Kabbalistic inspiration and lore. He actually was the pioneer of the Sabbatean a branch of Jewish subversives who inspired and led toward communism and ADL and B'nai B'rith and so on. Now, the question I have is if what was coming upon Alin was, we should mention that she had brain surgery 2 years earlier.
And, right, because she had a benign tumor, right?
Yeah, people may legitimately say, well, this is the result, the ravings of a person who suffered from a brain tumor. But the fact is, Alin had never heard of Baal Shem Tov or Shabbatai Zeev. And where did she get those crucial names coming out of Kabbalistic Judaism? And this led us to believe that we were actually the victims of a Kabbalistic curse. There have been rumors, of course, that there is a curse surrounding those who pry into the secrets of Judaism, like the Talmud and the Kabbalah and so on, and that some of these Kabbalistic rabbis can throw hexes and curses. Well, all we knew was this was coming at us. We believed absolutely this was coming at us as a result of what we had been doing to hurt this very sinister system they were hitting back at us.
Interesting. And, of course, it wasn't effective to use the ADL had not been effective in silencing you, so they took a different stance, correct?
Well, there are just simply the principalities and powers of darkness in this world that Jesus said that the Jews aligned themselves with. He called them Jews, which say they are Jews, but are not, but are liars, or are the synagogue of Satan. What that means is that unbelieving, Pharisaic, rabbinic Judaism, which would include modern Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox, conservative, and Reform Judaism, is literally the church of Satan in this world. And evangelicals, oh no, we can't believe that. They're the apple of God's eye. They're God's chosen people. But the Bible says, Jesus says very clearly, to beware of the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. They are the synagogue of Satan. And Jerusalem, their main headquarters, is called Sodom in Egypt, the embodiment of the perversion of Sodom, sexual perversion of Sodom, and the occultry of Egypt. And so the message of Scripture is to evangelicals that I was trying to reach is, let's get out of Babylon, let's flee out of Babylon, and come apart and touch not this unclean thing.
Amazing. Now, are there, you devoted most of your energy to the evangelical movement, to what churches do, somebody asked me the other day, okay, what churches are involved in this evangelical movement?
Well, the evangelicals are basically in contrast to the liberals. The liberal denominations as of today are groups like the United Presbyterians, United Methodists, the Church of Christ, and so on, and they deny many of the really important tenets of fundamental Christianity, like the virgin birth of Christ, often the deity of Christ, the resurrection, all those kinds of things. Their religious version of political liberalism, but the evangelicals include the Pentecostals, the even the Seventh-day Adventists, certainly the Baptists. Various types of Baptists, including the Southern Baptists and so on, as well as Wesleyan groups descended from the big Methodist church of John Wesley, which did go liberal about 100 years ago. So there are a number of major denominations, probably a couple hundred thousand pastors in America who you'd call evangelicals. Tragically, the evangelicals, for the most part, about a century ago, bought into ADL propaganda, Zionist propaganda, and began to agree with the Zionists, the Jews, the ADL, that the Jews could go back to Israel without obedience to God. And this is rank heresy. This destroys the whole law of God concerning the right of Jews to come back to Palestine.
All righty. We do have to take a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Again, 1-888-246-4121.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Welcome back. Our guest this hour is Reverend Ted Pike. His website is truthtellers.org. Now, you were talking about the obedience that the Jews had to demonstrate before they could return to Palestine. Now, that is doctrinal, is it?
Well, it certainly is. In the Mosaic Law, there are literally dozens of the most specific verses laying down God's unchanging requirements that the Jews as a people cannot ever enter and stay in his holy land as a nation except in obedience to him. Even Moses slightly disobeyed God in one circumstance, and he was never allowed to go into the promised land. The 10 spies rebelled against God, and the whole nation was cursed to go for a lifetime. Another generation in the wilderness. God will not allow unregenerate, Christ-hating Jews to enter Palestine. And that was largely agreed to by the Jews for two millennia until Theodore Herzl and others at the beginning of the 20th century began to popularize the idea that Jews were suffering so much that they needed to go back and have a safe haven where they could live in peace. And the evangelicals agreed with that. The evangelicals were seeing the pogroms in Russia and so on, where Marxist Jewish communities were being persecuted by the white Russians, and said, we can't have a persecution of the Jews, God's chosen people. And so the evangelicals got on board a very, very un-Christian, unbiblical agenda, saying it's time now to relax God's requirement of obedience. Let's let them go back, even though they are Christ-rejecting Bolsheviks, Marxists, secularists, and so on. And as a result, I believe this is the reason why there is so much discord in the Middle East, is because the land of Israel was sanctified and chosen by God as a special place where light and truth could be discovered, and Jesus Christ would come there as the Redeemer of the nations and so on. And yet when you have all of this evil, these Marxists and Khazar Jews coming in there to Palestine, pushing out, displacing 800,000 Palestinians, killing them, massacring them, driving them out, it just sends spiritual shockwaves through the region. And as a result, the Middle East will always remain in discord as long as unregenerate Jews are in dominion of Palestine.
Right. Now, do you believe that the churches who promoted Herzl's theories and promoted his mentality, do you believe that they were, in fact, infiltrated, or did they, or were they just propagandized by the Zionist?
I think the evangelical churches, seminaries, colleges, media, and so on is tremendously infiltrated by covert Zionists and so on, and it's so easy to do that. All you have to do is basically say you're Jewish and that you love Israel and the evangelicals embrace you. You don't even have to believe in Jesus Christ. Look at John Hagee and his organization. He brings in rank liberals, pro-hate law liberals, like David Brog, who was the chief of staff for Arlen Specter, a huge supporter of the federal hate bill. He comes and he now dominates John Hagee's Christians United for Israel as a co-director. And part of that is laying down the law that there will be no mention of the name of Jesus Christ, either in testimony or in prayer or in praise. This is rank heresy. This is apostasy. And the evangelicals allow Hagee to continue unrebuked. They allow millions of evangelical tourists to go into Israel and passively agree never to witness for Jesus in Israel. Again, this is rank heresy. The disciples said we must obey God rather than man, and they were willing to be thrown in prison and flogged in the first century in order to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in the streets of Jerusalem. And yet millions, in fact, literally every evangelical that gets off the plane at Tel Aviv has to agree that he will not mention Jesus in Israel. This is not only undemocratic, this is patently in defiance of the whole concept that the Holy Spirit can lead the evangelical Christian as the Holy Spirit leads us to witness to everyone, particularly Jews. The Scripture says that the gospel, Jesus said, I want you to preach the gospel first in Jerusalem and then in the uttermost parts of the earth. And yet the church today has totally sold out to the idea that the Jews are a special race and they deserve an exemption from hearing the gospel of Jesus.
Wow. Well, I know when I was, when I was there in 1999, we were told not to mention Jesus. But yes. what I cannot understand is why so many so-called Christians would go along with this. Why aren't they raising their voices against this heresy?
Well, they're literally conditioned and brainwashed to believe that any kind of criticism of Jews or the state of Israel or Jewish literature or anything like that is anti-Semitic. It is cursing God's chosen people. Of course, this, again, is a massive delusion, because when we go into the Old Testament and even the New Testament, we find the very greatest leaders and prophets of the Hebrew religion castigating evil Jewish leaders and castigating the people for their sins. Were they anti-Semitic? Of course not. And yet the evangelicals say, well, that was then, and Jews had a right to criticize Jews, but we Gentiles don't have a right to criticize Jews without cursing them. This is nonsense. The book of James says we're not supposed to have respect of persons in any sense. You're supposed to speak the whole truth of either of evangelism or of reproof to any and every person who is in error.
And of course, you mentioned the word Khazar. These people really don't have any ethnic connection to Israel to begin with, or to Palestine to begin with.
Well, in my book, written in 1984, I had a generous 10-page appendix on the subject of Khazars. And at that time, I was going primarily off of the 13th Tribe, the book by Arthur Koestler. And in fact, in my video, The Other Israel, in 1987, I really brought this to the attention of the world. Some people misguidedly say that Ted Pike doesn't know anything about the Khazars. Ted Pike believes that all Jews today are 100% descendants of Abraham. That's not true. In fact, I was a pioneer, literally a pioneer, as The Other Israel has blanketed the world in informing people that about the 8th century or so A.D., the Central Eurasian nation of Khazaria converted to Judaism. It's later the Kagan accepted the offer of Jews to teach the people of Khazaria, the Talmud, and so on. And in very, very short order, they began to believe that they were actually descendants of Abraham, perhaps of the lost tribes of Israel. And in the process of time, the evidence is overwhelming that with the Mongol invasions and so on, that they went into the nations of Eastern Europe, particularly into Poland, and developed their own kind of Judaism, largely centering around the Zohar or the Kabbalah. And it was out. This brings us to Baal Shem Tov, about this 17th and 18th century, the Kabbalistic influence among the Ashkenazi Jews, the Eastern European Jews, was very intense. And the Zohar is very much of a revolutionary form of so-called inspired scripture for the Jews, very, very pointedly denigrating the Jews, as the Gentiles as animals, and mandating the Jews to actually take over the world, subdue the Goyim, and rule the nations.
And weren't they rather a vile, despicable people, I mean, morally?
Well, it's true that the Sephardic Jews, the Sephardic Oriental Jews, always considered this huge mass of so-called Jewry in the East to be very vulgar, to be coarse, to be uneducated in Jewry. And they did not like their pushiness. They did not. The Jews of France and so on, when these Khazar Jews started coming in the 18th, 19th centuries, most authentic Jews of the West resented their abrasiveness. And I think that abrasiveness, that pushiness, is revealed in the fact that the Khazar Jews did dominate the Hollywood media, dominate the big three networks, and so on. And became absolutely unprecedented in their desire to corrupt and push sexual immorality upon the nations.
Right. Now, isn't that one of the reasons that their king decided that they needed to have some religion and gave them a choice of either studying the Jewish religion or the Christian religion?
Yeah, the old religion of the Khazars was pretty gross. I don't think I even want to mention it on the air.
Okay, we won't. We won't do that. Now, there were some Jews that had always been in Jerusalem that never left with the diaspora. Didn't a lot of those Jews adopt Islam?
Well, some of them did. actually, there is evidence that Kabbalistic Jews did influence the Muslims, particularly the ruler in the time of the Crusades, the Old Man of the Mountain, and that the Crusaders, the Templars, were very much influenced by the mysteries and occultry of the Jewish Kabbalah, actually coming through Muslim sources. And the Crusaders came back, and organized the craft guilds, the Masonic guilds of Europe, into the beginnings of Freemasonry in the West. It all comes out of a Kabbalistic Muslim Middle Eastern source.
Okay. Now, I think that, you know, that a lot of the churches now preach that there is no such thing as demons or Lucifer. And yet, from your experience in reading your article, you definitely demonstrate that there are demons and that things happened to both you and your wife that are unexplainable, except through Go ahead.
Excuse me. I would encourage all of our listeners to actually read my 11-page article, which is right on the right-hand side of our homepage, on the archives list on the right. It's entitled Ted Pike, My Wife Died a Martyr for God and Freedom. The devil's in the details. We have details there that are astonishing, scores and scores of incidents and anecdotes of demonic infestation of our house, particularly terrible attacks on Lynn, violence, lifting her off the ground, throwing her against the wall. We have many instances of dematerialization and materialization of objects. These beings have powers over the material reality that is far, far beyond anything that our laws of physics have any idea of.
Right. Now, in your email today, you talked about, you mentioned that several people have asked you about exorcism, why you didn't resort to that.
Well, we were vividly aware that this was an attack upon me because I was of what I was doing. And I have not the slightest doubt that if I were going to absolutely stop going after the synagogue of Satan and the world revolutionary Jewish supremacist movement, the demons would have left. That would have been the most effective way to exorcise them. But we did not feel liberty from God to lay down our weapons of war. This was a warfare. Alin was extremely aware that she was in warfare. She was my shield of battle, protecting me from the demons. In fact, on one occasion, she asked one of the main demon, Pitka, who was the primary demon here, she asked him, are you attacking me because I'm protecting Ted as he goes out to battle? And he said yes. He told her that. And they're a bunch of liars, but I believe in that instance he was telling the truth.
So you have one section in your article, Learning to Live with Demons. How did you do this? I mean, this is just an amazing, amazing story.
Well, they were here. They literally infested the place. They camped here. It's as if we had an unwelcome house guest from the mafia who lived here, and we just had to live around them. It was oppressive. It was difficult. But I should mention that my wife was herself. She was her usual happy. She had depression problems, but she always rose above those things. She was optimistic, creative, a wonderful spiritual person, a contributor to our group, and so on. But all of her day was punctuated by demonic manifestations. Off and on throughout the day, she would suddenly scream with blood-curdling screams or manifest terrible distortions of her face as they would pull her facial muscles, making a grotesque mask of her face. All kinds of bizarre phenomena that would take probably several hours to describe all that here. But again,
you witnessed this.
Oh yes,
absolutely.
Yeah, in fact, I go out of the way in this article to include almost primarily things which I had seen personally. I had not been through a brain surgery, so no one can accuse me of being suffering from some kind of post-traumatic stress. But yes, I saw many, many strange things, bizarre things. I'm a primary witness of incredible happenings.
Now, did you feel that God was allowing this to occur?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, in the book of Job, it describes how God has a special hedge of protection around his saints, and Lucifer said, I couldn't get through. But God himself in Job says, okay, I'm going to I'm going to give you an opening in the hedge of protection. You can go in and you can afflict at Job. Don't take his life, but you have a right. You can go in there with my permission for a space of time and smite him with boils and kill his children and so on. And it's interesting that the so-called friends of Job, they came to Job and they said, oh, no, a good God would never, never do this kind of thing to a good man. You must have some kind of secret sin in you. And that was not the case. He was actually being attacked because he was the most righteous man on the face of the earth at that time.
Okay. We do have to go to a break. We will be right back with Reverend Ted Pike. Stay tuned.
Gas, bloating, indigestion, constipation that comes and goes. If you're not having normal bowel movements every day, you can suffer from a buildup of toxins that cause upset stomach, constipation, excess gas, or intestinal discomfort. Plus, you could be holding up to 4.5 pounds of fecal waste if you're going to the bathroom only once a day. Even more unwanted weight if you're going less often. But now there's ColonFlow. Non-prescription ColonFlow is scientifically formulated with key ingredients to help restore normal bowel function. And you're eligible to try it free for 30 days. We're looking for participants to receive a free 30-day trial, so call immediately. All-natural ColonFlow works gently with your body to eliminate toxic waste and maintain your regularity. ColonFlow is being released to the general public, and your area has been selected to try it right now for free. Call immediately to find out how to receive your free 30-day trial. Phone lines are open now.
Call 888-446-3902. That's 888-446-3902.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Again, 1-888-246-4121. 4121.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Welcome back. Our guest this hour is Reverend Ted Pike. His website is truthtellers.org, and I really encourage you to read through this entire document. It is, as Reverend Pike said, it's right on the right-hand side of the website, truthtellers.org. And you were talking before we went to the break about Job and about his friends. And as I read through this document, I mean, she had all kinds of problems. Just amazing things happened to her. I don't know how she managed. I She had eating issues. She had every kind of issue you could think of. And these demons were...
Yeah, she was kind of a walking encyclopedia of maladies, very largely of unknown origin. When the demons came on her, she developed a good deal of these problems, including problems with her knees and so on. And it was clear, like Job, that God was giving permission for the demons to afflict her. It was very much of an intercessory process. She was taking the hits. She was my shield of battle. And I have absolutely fathomless respect for her. I love her just as much now as the last moment I saw her.
Now, after her death, what has happened to you? Has anything happened to you that is questionable as far as demonic attacks?
They're still around. And, in fact, I've noticed quite a few dematerializations. Just a few days ago, I had a chapter written for the new edition of my book, Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemmas, coming out. I had it solidly clipped to a clipboard, and, of course, they took it out of the clipboard, and now I got to write that whole half a chapter again. Many times I've had documentation, articles, and so on stolen by them as they've dematerialized crucial articles in preparation to go out as e-alerts from truthtellers.org. Part of the spiritual battle. They continue to move my bed around. They continue to take things and create a nuisance of themselves. But at least I don't have them yelling and screaming and barking like dogs and howling and laughing derisively here in the Lynn. And then all of this speaking in tongues chatter. The house is quiet. I like to cook. And I'm full of fight. I want to continue her legacy of fighting on for truth and freedom.
Well, it's just an amazing story, and the detail that you incorporate into this article, and the things that she experienced, and the things that you experienced early on, as early as 1971. Is just amazing, and I wonder if these experiences have happened to other people. Has anybody contacted you with similar episodes of demonic attack?
Yes, I've received a real flood of emails. I still haven't had the privilege of answering all of them, but people do tell me that they've experienced similar things on a much smaller scale.
Well, our time has run out, I'm sorry to say. Thank you so much, Reverend Pike, for sharing this with us, and bless your heart, and hope you will come back again.
Thank you, Deanna.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, listeners. Talk to you tomorrow.
Next round.